Before we do that, let's turn to Matthew 25. This is not published. It's the text that I've chosen and the fact that I'm preaching this morning. And we're going to read through to 14 through to 30. Matthew 25 and 14 through to 30. Again, it will be like a man. So Jesus is telling a number of stories. I'll explain in a while. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of these servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. By the way, lots of people forget the spiritual dynamic of God who entrusts to us the little that it may be multiplied. Many people these days want to start with big. And scripture here is saying that God says, be faithful in the little and I will make it big. Just to make that point along the way. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more. And he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Doesn't end nice, does it? Putting God's gifts to use. You know, earlier on in the year, we shared with you in January, we shared with you that our sense was that God, when we went away to pray and think about our journey as a church this year, God had laid on our heart this whole thing about stirring up the gifts, stirring up the gifts. And so, given that we had an opportunity this week where our preacher wasn't able to be with us, I thought I would take another chance to come at this using a different story in the Bible. Putting God's gifts to work or to use. Well, the time between Jesus' ascension and his second coming, according to this parable, this story, is a time of opportunity. Remember, Jesus has ascended. He's gone to heaven. His second coming, we await. And this story is making the point that this time is a time of opportunity. It is a time for followers of Jesus to put God's gifts, the talents that he gives, to profitable use, is the point that is being made here. You know, ever since the first century, Christians have looked forward to the return of Jesus. And we still do, of course. No one knows the day or the hour of his return. We've been looking at that. A fact that Matthew makes so very clear. You know, earlier on, there's the parable of the 10 virgins, just before we get to this passage today, which was making the point about being prepared for Christ's return, to stay alert and to be vigilant, because nobody knows when he's going to be coming back. the day or the hour. This parable addresses how we live while we wait. It's how we live while we wait. So this would say to us, use the talents that you have been given. Use the talents you've been given, your giftedness, to advance the kingdom of God. Not for self, but to advance the kingdom of God. I beg it to you that Christians have a responsibility to be productive. I don't know if you ever think in those terms. We have a responsibility to be productive, to put gifts that we have to work. So this parable is about faithfulness, yes. It's about carrying on the ministry of Jesus until he comes back, until he returns. The story makes it clear that God has a keen interest in how we use his resources. Notice whose resources it is. His resources. And he has a keen interest on how we use it. The master in this story, Jesus, is going away on a journey. So he entrusts his servants, slaves in other scripture, servants here. In other words, the disciples, Christians, as he seems fit, with what amounts to huge sums of money. This talent, I'm not going to go into all the details because quite frankly, people have written huge amounts about it, but it's not significant. The fact is he's given them a load of wanga. It's billions and billions. He's just been generous. He's given them lots of money, this five and two and one thing. Lots of money he's given to them. One gets five, the other two, the third one. Now, need to say to you that in the ancient world, talents is really about money. It's a measurement, and it's about money. In our modern world, the minute you mention talent, we immediately get to the point of that which we are born with. The fact that we could do nice flowers, or the fact that we can, paint nicely and all this sort of thing, or we can sing well like Sarah and all this kind of thing. That's where we go. But it's, in the ancient world, it was bigger than that. It really was about the resources that God gives us. And it was about money, it's about weight in copper and gold and silver. God gave as he saw fit. So here's the thing that I am intrigued by. I am intrigued by the fact that it's not about the fact that we are manufacturers of this, but it's the fact that God has given this to us, so we are merely stewards of it. And today I want to spend a bit of time talking about stewardship. But before I do that, let me just make this point. The servants were merely stewards. God gave as he saw fit and as he understood their ability. So it's God's prerogative as to who gets what. One of the things that plague churches' life up and down this country is to do with this slide. Comparison. We compare ourselves to each other so much. And the Bible makes it so clear that it's God's prerogative as to what he gives. They're gifts from him to us. He gives us gifts and we are to take it, enjoy it, receive it. They're gifts given. It's no point comparing yourself to me and me comparing myself to you. Comparison just kills. Because inevitably one is going to be better than the other. And it's going to lead to low self-esteem, and it's going to lead to arrogance maybe in the other one. What's the point? We have to be so careful about this comparison. God is the one who gave as he saw fit. And I'm glad in the story there is no mention, and I don't want to be allegorical with the parable, but there's no mention of the one who got two saying, hang on, why did he get five? And the one who got one said, hang on, you only gave me one. I'm so glad there was none of that in the story. No comparison, no competition, no jealousy. God gives generously, and we are to graciously receive And we are to use it to serve Him, our Master. Now, can I say, make this very clear? We're to use it to serve Him. The clue is in the word servant. It's not about self. Servants serve their master. Anytime it's about us, then we've lost the plot. It's about Him. We use it to serve Him. Clue is in the word. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. It's all the Lord's. It's all the Lord's. You know, I'm always conscious of this as I try to live that way. In my own life, I don't do it very well. I'd like to do it better. I certainly was very conscious when our children were younger and growing up, but even now as they're older, that the children, they're a beautiful gift from God, but I felt as if my role was to be a good steward. It's a good steward. Bring up the children well. They weren't mine. I mean, I know biologically, but they weren't mine. How do we do this? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. What is it? What is it like to be good stewards? Everything belongs to the Lord. Everything. You know, in the past few weeks, we've been talking about living in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we've seen how people, as the Holy Spirit came, they started sharing all what they had. Why did they do things like that? Because everything belongs to the Lord and they were just sharing it, all that they had in common. It's the same thing going on now. How we, as we talk about how we can serve each other during this time of virus fear that is gripping our nation and many nations. It's all the Lord's and we share what we have. It's a sad day when I just say, well, this is mine and I'm not going to share with you. That's a sad day. Because that's about selfishness. That's not community. That's not God's heart. You know, going right back to the Garden of Eden. It was God who created and gave to humans the responsibility to be good stewards. That was always our responsibility. So if you look at Genesis 1, you see there we are told to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish and all that sort of stuff. In other words, be a good steward. If you look at Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. Be a good steward. And I know at this point, Millard would want me to remind you about environmental issues. Be good stewards. That's why I've always said, you know, these people, I welcome the Greens and all these other people. That's great. But actually, this is what God said it should have been in the first place. As Christians, we are the preservers of this. We messed it up. We got greedy. And we stopped caring for the earth that God told us to care for. And Jesus said, I'm coming back for the whole of creation. And we're going to have to give an answer for that, folks. I don't know who the we is, but we're going to have to give an answer for that. We're called to be good stewards. Christians then are appointed to the role of administrators, managers, stewards of the natural talents. I was thinking about this, and I thought, well, look, there are three types of things that we need to think about. And a book I was reading helpfully got me to think this through. When you think of stewardship, and particularly this morning message, the natural talents from birth, things that we have naturally, we meant to steward that. The gifts that we're given by God's Spirit, the spiritual gifts that the Bible talks about so clearly and so well. But also being good stewards of the possessions that we acquire as we go through life, given the talent, the ability God has given us. We acquire possessions, whether it be cars and houses and this and that and the other, being good stewards of our possessions too. The issue is not how much we have, but how well we use what we have. It's really not about how much we have. It's how well you use what you have. You know, it wasn't the fact that this servant only had one. It's how he used the one that he had, which is what got him into trouble. The issue is not how much, but how you use it. Jesus knows that different people have different abilities. When I think on this, I think I've concluded that something like this. enabled by the Holy Spirit, you must be the best you that you can be. I think is how I've concluded as I read that this parable. It's my thinking about the summary of this parable. Each of us is unique, and God wants to use each of us to achieve His kingdom purposes in His own unique way. So, if you go back to 1 Peter 4:10, we are told, whatever gift you've received, use it to serve others, being faithful stewards of God's grace. There's that word again. Be faithful stewards of God's grace. We were singing of grace earlier on. So, the story. Two did very well. They knew that wise stewardship involved investments. They were good stewards. They knew that faith involved works. Because, you know, James tells us, the Lord's brother, does he not, that faith without works is dead. So they knew that faith without works is useless. It's valueless. What's the point? Just bury it. It's valueless. So they knew that. And so they took the risk and they put their master's resources to work. It involved risk for It involves risk. They used their initiative. They were enterprising. They were diligent. They were energetic. And they did what they had to do. And the end result is that the master was very pleased with them. He was delighted with them. Very pleased with them. You probably need to help her to go in the other room, please. That would help me too. The third servant, was different for him. He missed his opportunity and he was declared by Jesus to be lazy and wicked. He just buried it. Here's the thing. I put it to you. We don't know really, but a preacher's license. I put it to you that he had an explanation. He had an explanation as to why he did what he did. It's a very plausible explanation. But when Jesus responds, when the master, Jesus, responds, it looks as if there's something else behind his very plausible explanation. Because Jesus' response was, you're making excuses. You're just wicked and lazy. You're wicked and lazy. The plausible excuses that we have for not doing what we need to do. And Jesus will summarize it as lazy and wicked. The person who has no heart for the gospel or for making the gospel known or doing the kingdom work of Jesus, Jesus would say, is wicked and lazy. There's a tough one for you. If you just say, Jesus, I love you, but you don't do anything to promote Jesus, you're wicked and lazy. Because you're not using the resources that He has given to you. You've buried it. You've buried it. Here is something that I think we struggle with, but it's worthy of conversation as we go through the week. Our God is both a generous rewarder, because He is, but He's also a stern judge. He's a generous rewarder, but He's also a stern judge. We have become so casual and so complacent with God, we have forgotten about His holiness, His standards, and the fact that He's not just a rewarder, He's also a judge. This servant was afraid, verse 25 tells us. Well, fear is a worrying thing, really, is it not? Fear is a disturbing thing. It can keep us from opportunities. Fear can neutralize effectiveness for God. Fear can paralyze us. Fear can stop us from doing the right thing. He buried his talent, and in effect, that meant that He minimized his fruitfulness. But here's the thing. He took the safe, easy way involving no imagination, no risk, and no work. Well, he had to work to dig the hole, I suppose. Took the easy way. We are called to bear fruit. But he minimizes fruitfulness. Because he refused to take the risk. I find it interesting that the master seemed to be more interested in the effort, each had put in. And he didn't seem to be so concerned about the results, quite frankly. I get the impression that the master wasn't worried about the results. He wasn't worried about that. It's just the effort. Have you put the effort in? Have you put the effort in? His unfaithful service, the lack of effort, led to condemnation, removal of stewardship, and an eternity away from the master's presence. Well, let me wrap this thing up. Jesus will return. And according to the Apostle Paul, we will all have to give an account to what we did with the resources. 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. We have to give an account as to how we use God's resources. Christ has entrusted us with the stewardship of every gift we have, and we are answerable to Him. Stir up the gift within you. Stir up the gift within you. Excel in being a good steward as you use your God-given gifts to serve your Lord until such time as He returns. This time between the ascension and the return of Christ is a time of opportunity, a time for us as Christians to serve our Lord using the gifts that He has given to us. Do it in the church. Do it in the church. In other words, amongst each other. But do it also in your workplace. Do it in your streets. Do it in your community. Do it in your neighborhood. Live for Jesus. Don't live for Jesus just today. Be the same person tomorrow at 11 o'clock in the workplace when somebody has annoyed you in the desk opposite you and you really want to give them one. How are you going to be for Jesus there in that space? Be it in your street, where especially with what's going on, there may be elderly folks where we need to knock on a door and see if we can help, if they'll allow us to. Be it by the bus stop. Be it on the bus. You see somebody who needs a seat. And you can afford to stand. Stand and give them a seat. Bless them. In the everyday, mundane stuff of life, be the Christian God made you to be. Be steward of the gift that is within you. I'm trying to say that you and I, we to do all that we do for God's glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. He has invested in us and given us gifts that we are to use for His glory. God chooses to use you and me in building His church. And for that reason, my friends, for that reason, we must not, we dare not, we cannot, we should not ignore, squander, or abuse the resources that He has given to us. He's given us resources. Each and every one of us. And they are to be used that His kingdom may come and His will may be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Until such time as Jesus returns. I think I want to listen to that song now. Is that okay? I'm changing the program a little bit. You know, this song which I fell in love with, it's a song which Yuktin will flash some words up on the screen if he could keep up with wherever she's going, but it may not tally from time to time. Let me just say that.